Thanks, everyone. A few weeks ago, Ian Dickinson did a really helpful and anointed preach on faith. And I loved several things about it. And I was thinking, what made it so powerful? I think one thing was his use of the Word of God. A second thing was your personal testimony. And I think there was another thing above both those things that clinched it for me. It was your pink trousers. And I don't have pink trousers, so I did the best I could. No, I don't think I'm too short, Ian. You're taller than me. I want to talk this morning about something probably most of us have struggled with if we've been Christians for any length of time. It's learning to hear God's voice. And some people seem to find it very easy. A lot of us don't. I first joined the church in 1983. I'm going to put up a photograph of the year after I joined the church. This photograph was taken by Janet Hunt's son, Andy, from the roof of one of the buildings in Oak Park School. And I make out, as far as I can make out, I think there are 9, possibly 10 people still in the church who were in that photo. Yeah. If you want to know... that's me.
Paul Butcher.
Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donna.
Yeah.
Emma.
Yeah. Yeah. About 10.
Tony. Julie. Mark. Linda. And we have got people that were around then but weren't in the photo.
1984?
Yes. Some may remember Peace from Mariette.
Oh, yes.
Rob James.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's others. Yeah. Now, why have I put that photo up? It's not just about a blast from the past. When I joined this church, I joined from a very good Anglican church in Weymouth, which is where I was living. And it wasn't long before I started to feel quite inadequate. And there were a number of things about this church that seemed very mature. But one of the things I struggled most with was the fact that so many people I spoke to, whether on a Sunday or down the pub or doing something else, would say things like, God said this to me. God spoke this to me. God said the other to me. And I came across so many people who seemed to hear God so clearly. And although I'd been a Christian for 7 years, I didn't. And I immediately thought I was a second-class Christian. They were far more spiritually mature than me. And I disqualified myself in various ways because I actually equated or compared the ability to hear God's voice with spiritual maturity. And I just want to blow that out of the water because it's not like that. God has a passion to communicate with every single person. God loves communication. He created men and women on this planet so that he could have a deep personal relationship with us. And part of relationship is about two-way communication. But we find it hard, and God understands that. So I want to talk this morning about the different ways God speaks to us. I want to start at the beginning and talk about the Old Testament. This sword is a picture of every book in the Bible written down, 66 books. And from there down to there are all the books of the Old Testament. So we're starting at the top, which was the first book, Genesis, and we go down to the last book of the Old Testament. And then below that is the New Testament. So it's the whole Bible books. The very beginning of time when God created the world, he created Adam and he created Eve. And at that time, face to face in the Garden of Eden, God communicated face to face, where they could see him and they could hear his voice. Like, you are hearing my voice today and I'm seeing you today. That's how it was. That was how it was meant to be. It wasn't meant to be difficult or complicated. But of course, we know that Adam and Eve turned away from God. They rebelled against his law And we call it the fall. That's not the same as the American word for autumn. It's about the fall means the fall of people away from God's heart and away from communication and connection and relationship. So God had to find another way of communicating with people in the state where they'd now turned away from God. And as we go through the books of the Old Testament, we find that God actually did it through two main things. Firstly, it was the law. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus talked about something he called the law and the prophets. He uses that phrase a lot. What does it mean? When Jesus used that phrase, the law, he was talking about the first five books of the Old Testament, that bit, okay, where there was a lot of laws written down in those books. It wasn't just law, it was stories as well and adventures that happened to people. But that's what Jesus meant by the law. When Jesus talks about the prophets, it's everything else in the Old Testament, which includes many people who we would now call prophets, like Ezekiel and Daniel and Jonah, lots of other guys. But it also includes the books that we call poetry, like Psalms, and some of the histories, like 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and so on and so on. All of those other books Jesus meant when he said the prophets. So when Jesus talked about the law and the prophets, he was talking about the whole of the Old Testament. And how God talked to people in the Old Testament was firstly, primarily, through giving them his law. And that was through Moses, who was a prophet. Very interesting. When Israel, the Israelites, escaped from Egypt, they were in slavery for 400 years. God rescued them. They went through the Red Sea with a miracle. And before they got to the promised land, which was Israel, God actually took them after some months to a mountain. And up to this time, there was no laws written down in the Bible. All they had was God speaking basically through individuals like Moses and Noah and people like that. But on the mountain of Sinai in the desert between Egypt and Israel, God told Moses to go up. And there he did an amazing thing. It says this: the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. God gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. I'll explain that. The tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So Moses was there, and supernaturally God gave him these two stone blocks in which God's finger had written supernaturally what? The Ten Commandments. Those were the first written laws, the first way God spoke to people by writing something down from God to Moses to give to the people. And then after that time, still on the mountain, it says God gave Moses lots and lots of other laws to help them on their journey, to help them to learn how to live, how to respect one another, how to care for one another, what Anne was talking about this morning, how we should relate together. Very, very practical laws. How not to steal, not to take advantage of people, how to care for the widow and the orphan, how to honour and respect and love God and do worship together. All of these laws God gave the people through his prophet Moses. And then the history goes on in the Old Testament. And if Israel, the Israelites, had kept God's law, that would have been fine. The problem was they didn't. And we know what it's like, because we don't. We're human beings. We get it wrong. We go astray. And they went astray. So what did God do? He sent the prophets. The prophets were particular, mostly men in those days. They were men who loved God and tried to keep his law. And God spoke to them very personally. And he gave them words to show his people how to come back to him, to turn away from the wrong things they'd done and be restored to right relationship with God. And we see when reading the Old Testament that sometimes they did go back and sometimes they didn't go back. And eventually it went so bad, they rebelled against God so much that he had to actually send them out of the land into exile for 70 years. What I'm saying by all that is how God spoke in the Old Testament, through the law, which was written down, and through prophets, men who spoke what God had said to his people, the law and the prophets. Another way God spoke, and this is a very interesting verse in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4, says this. Has anyone here ever watched Professor Brian Cox's programs about the universe?
Yes.
David Attenborough's programs about the natural world?
Yes.
The heavens, it says, declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. So day and night, God's creation and nature are speaking words about who God is and what he's like.
Yeah.
And the surprising thing, and Paul talked about this when he preached, is that people like Brian Cox don't seem to get it. You know, it's almost like clockwork, isn't it, he's saying. And people don't see that actually it is God's way of communicating to a world about what he's like. Mm. So creation speaks to us as well. And that hasn't stopped, that hasn't changed. Old Testament. We then come to other ways God spoke in the Old Testament. Sometimes God sent angels. He sent an angel to Jacob. He sent an angel to other people. Miracles. When God got the Israelites out of Egypt, he rescued them by amazing miracles that showed the Egyptians who God was and what he was like and how he felt about his people. These are ways of God's communicating both to his people and to the nations around. God spoke through a donkey. Now, this is the miracle, I think, that blows my mind more than any other in the Bible. God actually spoke through a donkey. If my cat suddenly got up and said, "Jonathan, I want more food," I would be a bit shocked. But God did it. If we believe in a God that created the universe and can raise Jesus from the dead, I have no problem believing he could speak through a donkey. Writing on a wall. In one of the Old Testament books, there was a king and his people who had gone against God. And God wanted to speak to them, and they saw a hand, a finger writing on a wall. Gosh, that is far out, isn't it? Amazing. So God did amazing things in the Old Testament to communicate and speak to people. It wasn't just by the written law and by the prophets. It was other things as well. We now come on to today. How does God speak to us today? Is it the same or has it changed? And I would say it's both. It's both. And the key person in all this is the Holy Spirit. Aaron did an amazing talk on the Holy Spirit, telling us about who the Holy Spirit was. The Holy Spirit is part of God, part of the Trinity. And through the Holy Spirit, the world was created. Through the Holy Spirit, the Bible was inspired, written down by people, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is how God speaks to us today, but in lots of different ways, which I'll unpack. Jesus, before he died, was speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, who was due to come and live in them after he was risen from the dead. And Jesus said this in John 14, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, the disciples, all things, and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Because when Jesus taught his disciples, there was a lot to remember. And the Holy Spirit reminded them of his words, which we now have written down today in the Bible. The Holy Spirit. Jesus went on to say, John 16, "When he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." In other words, he will speak to you about what is true, what you need to know about your life, what you need to know about your future, what you need to know about your past. Fascinating. And then we see in the book of Acts, which is after Jesus went up into heaven, the early church had just been formed and miracles were happening and the church was growing. Incredibly exciting things were taking place. The Holy Spirit spoke to the early church. It says in Acts 13, "When they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit spoke directly, we assume, to the apostles, the disciples, about a strategy that he had, a work for Barnabas and Saul. How did he do that? We're not told. I could guess it might well have been through someone who had a prophetic gift. But I don't know, because I wasn't there. The Holy Spirit, he still speaks today. I believe the main way the Holy Spirit speaks today to everybody is this. It is the Bible, the whole Bible, not just the new, not just the old, the whole Bible. And if we haven't got that as the main foundation of how God speaks, we can go astray. And that happens and has happened throughout history, where churches and individuals have got into error. They have believed wrong things and said wrong things about God. It is actually because they have gone against things that the Bible has clearly taught. Is everything clear? No, it's not. I have a lot of things in it I don't understand. But the main things are very clear. The Bible, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the whole Bible, I'm going to put this down actually, I'm here. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. I put that in the Living Bible. I don't normally use the Living Bible, but I really like the way it's actually written that. It's really easy to understand. The Bible is so practical. God uses the Bible to show us the right way to go, the things to avoid, what to do, what not to do. And that should be our foundation of how we hear God speak, by reading the Bible. The Bible is the main and most important way God speaks to us. We need to read and know it. We need to discuss it, to ponder it, to ask questions of God about it, to read Bible commentaries, which are books that help you to understand difficult bits. Different Christians have different views about lots of things in the Bible. Always test what you hear and read about the Bible from other people against what the Bible actually says. Not everybody, even sincere, devout Christians, are always correct about everything. I'm certainly not. You need to test what I say. Don't just take it as right because I'm standing at the front. I have no authority on myself. I can get things wrong. Years ago, I once stood here and said the statement, Jesus has set us free from the curse of our salvation. Now, that is a wrong statement because I got my words muddled. Not because I was trying to preach something wrong. But we get it wrong. That was just an accident. But we can make mistakes. No Christian is infallible. Only God is infallible. So test what you hear. Test what you read. Why? How? By checking it against what the Bible says. Now, we are trying as a church, the leadership team, other people who preach, we're trying to get it right. We're doing the best we can. I'm just saying we need to help one another and just learn together how to hear God, how to obey the Bible. I'll give you an example of how God spoke to me very practically by me reading the Bible. I am a trainer. I'm self-employed and I have three training organisations that offer me work at various times. Without them, I would have no work. There's no guarantee of work. I just found that God gives me work. And of those three organisations, there was one that mainly gave me Zoom training work to do. Anybody here love Zoom? Oh, good, it's not just me. I do not enjoy training other people via Zoom. It's hard to hear them. It's two-way, not three-way communication. You can't read people. I don't like it. But I was doing it because I needed to earn money. And I got to the stage where they were bringing in this organisation that gave me Zoom training, about a third of my income. And I just had this feeling that I should stop. give up this organisation and stop the Zoom training. And it was a huge decision financially to cut your salary potentially by a third. And so I started to pray with Emma and on my own. And I didn't hear God say anything for a while. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't do it without being certain that God was saying it. And one day I was reading through a book of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, wonderful book, but takes some understanding sometimes. Some verses in it are absolutely amazing, and other verses in it you think, what's that doing in the Bible? It's a very interesting book. But it comes out with these sort of one-liners, and then there's another sentence after, another verse that's completely different, totally unrelated. And I came across this verse, and it said this in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6. So I'm praying around this time about, Lord, should I give up this source of income? Because it's hard work, I don't enjoy it, but trust you for the future. And this is what is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6 said. Better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind. And something exploded in my spirit and my heart. And I thought, yes, that is God's written word, like a sword into my heart, speaking to my personal situation 3,000 years after it was written down by King Solomon. Yeah. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
He didn't know about Zoom. And it's exactly what I needed, because God was saying, okay, have one handful, that's my money, not two, because I'm giving it to you with quietness. You'll have peace about that, in other words. Give up that activity that's stressful. I will take care of your and Emma's financial needs. That's basically what God was saying. And within a month, I'd handed in my notice. And just the final end of that story, the following year, down to two providers rather than three, I checked my income for that year, and the year after I gave up, I earned £1,000 more than I did when I had three training providers, because that is God's economy of finance.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's how he works. Yes. It doesn't make sense, but it does to God. And God is so practical. He will speak to you through the Bible when you're asking him about things so often. And the more you read the Bible, the more he'll bring back to your memory, oh, I read a verse about that. God spoke about that. And if we don't read it, God will not be able to do that, because we haven't got that in us. And that's why we need to read the Bible, even when it doesn't seem to be speaking, even when it seems to be dry as old boots, even when it doesn't make sense. Don't stop reading the Bible, because the time will come when it will make sense. Okay. Other ways God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Another common way is a thought, just a simple thought. You're going along, or you're in church, and sometimes you have a thought. And this is where it can be hard to distinguish. Is this God or is this me? And I struggle here, because sometimes I have a thought and I don't know if it's God, and it turns out to be just me. But sometimes it is just a little prompt from God. So that can be how God speaks. Sometimes it's stronger than a thought. It's a feeling or a burden in you. A thought is just a thought, but where it's a feeling or a burden, it's where your emotions are engaged, and your heart sometimes starts beating faster. You know, you might be with someone and you feel an outpouring. I mean, this happened with Anne this morning, an outpouring of compassion for people. And I noticed that around the room, people had compassion. And you're feeling God's heart, and that's God communicating. When you feel his heart, you may not have words, but if you're feeling God's heart, you're in connection with God. And sometimes out of that will come words that God will give you for somebody. It might be a word of prophecy, where you just speak to them what you feel God is saying. It might be a vision or a picture. Some people get a lot of pictures where they're awake, but God just puts a picture of something in their mind. And God uses it to explain something that helps someone to understand something that was really difficult. Mm. Hands up here if you've ever received a picture from God about someone else. Look around, there's quite a lot of us. Some have them more than others. Some don't get them. There is no hierarchy here. There's nothing wrong if you don't. God speaks to us uniquely and individually in the way that's best for us. So don't compare. A dream. Dreams are interesting. Now, Emma had an interesting dream last night. It was that we were with some friends who used to be in the church on Hailing Island, and Emma went off and I came home and said, Emma, I've bought a mobile home on Hailing Island. And we went and looked at it, and it was really rubbish, and it was falling apart. And Emma said, why do we need a mobile home? I said, not against, you know, you've got a mobile home, that's absolutely fine. You know, it's about me. We didn't need a mobile home on Hailing Island, okay? And it was just a dream. Okay, it wasn't God, but it was an interesting one. But sometimes you have a dream, and it's God. I had a dream one night, and I woke up, and I knew it was God. It was a very silly dream. I was driving along the road, and my car went into a ditch. And I got out. I wasn't injured. I was standing there scratching my head. My car was in the ditch. I thought, I'm never going to get out of the ditch. I'm stuffed. And then a friend came along, said, Jonathan, grab the end of the car. I'll take the front. I said, okay. He said, right, 1, 2, 3, lift. And we lifted this car out of the ditch, back on the road. And I drove off. Okay, odd. And then I had another dream the same night. I was driving along the road again. Bang, had an accident. Went into the car in front. I thought, oh no, same phrase, I'm stuffed. You know, police, insurance, all the rest. No one injured. It was just such a pain. So I got out and the driver of the car got out. Now, most of you will not know this person, but it was Dave Kingston. Yeah. He was a guy that used to be in the church and a good friend of mine. And he looked at the damage, and Dave's very laid back. He said, don't worry about it. We went on our way. And the first dream and the second dream came together, and I just felt God said to me in a very clear thought, Jonathan, things are never as bad as they seem. And that transformed me, because I worry a lot. And it's like he gave me God's perspective. Jonathan, when you're in a situation where you feel that you're utterly stuffed, and I've been in situations like that, where I felt, this is a total and utter disaster, I have to remember that dream. Jonathan, things are never as bad as you think they are right now. Because from his perspective, he sees the end, how it can turn round. So God does speak through dreams, but not always. That's why I talked about the first one. So it's, you know, sometimes we can talk to friends who can help us. And ask God, God, was this dream significant? Hands up if you've had what you feel is a God dream ever, anybody. Look around. So God does speak through dreams. Other people. Other people may give you a vision or a picture or a word from God, or sometimes a scripture, a verse from the Bible. So it's good to consult with other people sometimes. And sometimes if you're weighing up about what to do about a decision, maybe an important decision, maybe about something that affects your finances or where you live or just something that's not just every day, it's really good sometimes to talk to other Christians who you trust and respect, particularly leaders, about a really significant decision. Just asking them, you know, to help you. What we don't want is people just to take over. God wants to speak to us. But the Bible says this about other people. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by seeking advice. And sometimes when I'm struggling with things going on, being able to talk to other people who are wise can be really helpful, particularly if I'm not sure if it's God's voice. And don't just talk to people that will, you know, say, tell you what you want to hear. Talk to people you respect, who will have the courage to say, actually, I'm not sure about this, because they will have your best interests at heart. And that's what God wants. He wants the best for us. An angel. God speaks in the New Testament through angels. Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw angels. And has anybody here ever seen an angel?
Well,
Okay, someone at the back. Katie Ford sees angels a lot. Katie's not here today. And sometimes people encounter angels. Now, the other interesting thing about angels is that when you think of an angel, I don't know what comes to mind, you think of a huge heavenly being with wings, maybe. A lot of people meet angels and they don't even know it. Yeah. And the Bible actually says that. Abraham met people as people, and they may well have been angels. A lot of people, we've met somebody that helped. He was a farmer and he had an accident in a tractor, and a guy appeared out of nowhere, said, "Are you okay?" Sorted him out, just went on his way, and we looked around and the guy had vanished. So sometimes we meet angels and we don't even know it. We might be surprised when we go to heaven. The audible voice of God. So as you are hearing my voice now, this is what I'm talking about. That's an audible voice. Not just a whisper, not just a thought or a feeling. You're hearing someone's voice that you could record on a tape recorder. Does God ever do that? The answer is yes. He did it in the New Testament. He did it in the Old Testament. Samuel, one of the great prophets, when he was a little boy, he was actually living in the temple being cared for by the high priest Eli. And it says that Samuel heard a voice. It says, "The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli, the high priest, and said, 'Here I am, you called me.'" So he basically thought God's voice was the voice of Eli. And Eli eventually realized, after it happened a couple more times, "No, Samuel, you're hearing basically the audible voice of God." Jesus, when he was baptized, heard the audible voice of God. "This is my dearly loved son." When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration a year or two later, he was meeting with Elijah and Moses on that mountain, who'd come from heaven to be with him. And his three closest disciples heard a voice from heaven. Again, "This is my dearly beloved son." So God sometimes uses an audible voice. Not common. That's not the normal way God speaks. But be open, because he may. Circumstances. God sometimes uses circumstances to speak to us. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse 7, it's about the some of the early church leaders. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. These are places in the Middle East. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So basically, God stopped people going there. And then later on, it says in but one of the epistles, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, "A great door for effective work has opened to me." So he was talking about God shutting some doors geographically to go to certain places to preach and opening other doors. So circumstance, we don't know what those circumstances were, whether that he was stopped by the authorities or the soldiers. We just don't know. But sometimes God uses your circumstances. If you're not sure about the way forward, sometimes something happens that makes it clear and it's obvious. And something doesn't become clear and obvious. And it just sort of reveals itself. Peace. Peace is an important guide. Now, peace is not 100% perfect, because I know that sometimes people can be in deception and they can have peace about something that's wrong. That has happened. I heard the story of someone that was said he preached his greatest sermon when he was living in adultery or something, and was clearly thinking he was at peace, but was in deception. So it's not a foolproof 100% guide. We can be deceived. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. And he loves to give peace. When I had that verse from Ecclesiastes, I had such a sense of peace. And peace is a good guide. It really is. If you've been grappling with a decision and you think God's saying this, but you're not sure, and you go ahead and you get peace. It's a wonderful feeling. It really is. I go back, all of those are the way God speaks, but they should all be submitted to what the Bible says. which is, you know, I gave the example of about the guy that was living in adultery. The Bible clearly says adultery is wrong. So although he was preaching a great sermon, and he might have been, and thinking he was at peace, he was wrong. God had not spoken to him in that sense, saying it was okay. So, final thing about God speaking to us, and this is so important. What about when he doesn't? Hands up if you've ever experienced a time of God's silence. Look around. That's the only question I've asked, so I think everyone's put their hand up. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. God loves to communicate. But silence is precious as well. And God sometimes uses silence. Do you know, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, it says a very interesting verse. There was silence for half an hour in heaven. I don't even know that you have time in heaven. But there's something precious about silence. And God sometimes doesn't seem to speak to us. Sometimes it can be because we haven't asked him. We might want a decision from God or God to speak to us, but we haven't bothered to ask him. And I know that sounds incredibly obvious, but I need to say it. If you want God to speak about something that's not clear, you have to ask him. And you also might have to spend time with him. He may not answer you straight away. And what he values in that is you actually giving him time, because he's a relational God. He loves you and wants to spend time with you. And he may not answer you straight away simply because he said, well, I really enjoyed that time we had together, being quiet. And that's okay. But when you look at some of the greatest Christians and saints in the history of the Bible, they experienced God's silence. And it wasn't that they were doing anything wrong. Job, who has a whole book written about him, a very, very godly man. And the book of Job is a lot about God. Job crying out to God because God seems silent and he doesn't know why. He's never been silent before, but he's suddenly gone silent. And Job said this, if I go to the east, God is not there. If I go to the west, I don't find him. When he's at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. Job chapter 23. In other words, God's gone silent on Job. And he doesn't know why. And then we find so many psalms talk about God's silence. And the greatest one, possibly, example of this is Psalm 22. The author of Psalm 22 was David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Now, what's interesting is that David wrote that, but it was actually a psalm prophesying what Jesus would be saying and thinking on the cross. Because Jesus used those very words, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, Jesus, the very Son of God, who'd never done anything wrong and lived in unbroken relationship with his Father for 33 years, was now finding nothing but silence from the Father. Even Jesus knew the silence of God at that moment. Silence is okay. The good news is it won't stay like that. It didn't for Jesus, it didn't for Job, it won't for us. So don't panic or get despairing if you find that there seems to be silence between you and God. Keep seeking him. Do everything that you think is right to do. Carry on coming to church, being with other Christians, reading the Bible, praying. Don't stop those things. That's so important. And maybe God is just testing our faithfulness sometimes to see whether we'll carry on doing those things when he's silent. And that's how we grow. But he will speak in his time. In conclusion, three things. It takes time to learn to hear the voice of God. Don't worry if you're finding it hard and you're a new or young Christian. You will grow. God is so patient. Secondly, do not compare. Don't do what I did when I joined the church. People who hear God clearly hear God in the way God wants to speak to them. You will hear God in the way God wants to speak to you. And it won't be exactly the same as any other person in the world, because you're unique and your relationship with God is unique. And finally, I've said it again, read the Bible. Read the Bible. That is how we measure the truth of what we think God may have said. Finally, I said at the beginning, book of Genesis, how was it when God was with Adam and Eve? It was face to face, no barrier. What will it be like at the end? Face to face. When we die, it'll be that restored. We will see him. The Bible says, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. It's like how we relate to God. We can't see God. We're trusting that he's there. Then, in other words, when we die, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known by him. So that will be restored. How amazing will that be that day? Amen.